Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Carson's Corner, powered by MMALatestNews.com. My name is Bob Carson. Pleased to be with you this Wednesday afternoon here on an MMA edition of Carson's Corner. And we're very, very pleased to have a gentleman who really is running an inspiring journey to fight CM Punk in the UFC. We know the UFC listens to this program. There have been fighters in the past who have come on the show, and then within a short time after, they've been signed to the UFC. I'm telling you, there's no question about that. The UFC in the past has listened to the show, and I'm talking about Matthew Dolly. He is a MMA fighter, amateur MMA fighter out of Florida, who's gaining a lot of attention on the forums and other venues about his quest to fight CM Punk, Phil Brooks, newly signed UFC fighter. Now, I have to tell you that Matthew is a firefighter in Florida. He is currently on standby, so he may have to leave this call at any moment. But without further ado, we have him on the line. Let's bring him on Carson's Corner. Matthew, welcome to Carson's Corner.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
We appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot. And this is going to be a really telling interview.
Well, I hate to do this to you as soon as we get started, but I'm getting flagged. I got to go. I'll call you back as soon as I can.
All right, perfect. We'll let you right back on the air.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I was explaining to the audience, is that Matthew is a firefighter, is on call right now, and he just got called in for a fire or to provide some sort of mutual aid. I don't know exactly what that entails, but hopefully he'll be rejoining us. I'm sure he'll try to make an effort to call back. There are a lot of people out there listening to this program. There are a lot of people on the Underground Forum and Matthew's fans. We have a whole litany of questions for Matthew, and I just want to – he's a very, very interesting guy. He spent, I believe, 5 or 6 years in the Air Force as an Iraq war veteran. He made the transition to MMA, and he's fought in kickboxing. And I just think that the UFC needs to put him, put someone up against CM Punk, and they need to do it pretty quickly, okay? Because a lot of people are starting to wonder now. You've got a lot of angst out there. People want to see who is CM Punk fighting, and I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a big draw. There's no question about it. A lot of the WWE fans are going to transfer over and watch CM Punk, whoever he fights. He's 36 years old, so it's now or never, okay? But, this guy, Matthew Dolly, he made a huge thread, and there was some skepticism about his qualifications and his motives. And I think he's been very, very honest as far as what I could tell on the forums. I think he hasn't really overblown his skill set. He hasn't really, said that he's on the UFC level. But he's someone that, could potentially be a very, very good fight for CM Punk. I remember when Herschel Walker came into Strikeforce. And they put Herschel Walker against a guy named, I believe his name was Scott Carson. And Carson didn't have, that much experience. He was a professional fighter, but he did pretty well against Herschel Walker. I believe the fight was maybe a second or third round TKO. This is going back years. This is probably, 5 or 6 years ago. But, I think that there, if you look at the forums, there are some, I want to say, support for what Matthew was doing. And we recently had, not too long ago, Dominic Robinson, the Fallen Angel Robinson, who fights, who's trying to get into the UFC as well. And, but, you know, he recently beat Joe Stevenson in this event. And, okay, we just got word from Matthew. He's going to be calling me in about 5-10 minutes. So, good. We're going to have him on the program. He does not have to attend this fire. He's going to be right here on Carson's Corner. We're pleased about that. So we'll give you Matthew Dolly as soon as he calls back into the program, which should be in about 5 or 10 minutes. So, yeah, but I'm just really, really intrigued by this. I know a lot of people out there are supporting him and his cause, and we're just going to have to see if the folks over at the UFC are listening. Are you listening, Dana White? Come on, what's going on here, all right? When are you going to announce an opponent for CM Punk? Everybody's waiting. Of course, Brock Lesnar recently, I think as of Monday, announced that he's not going to be in the UFC. He ended his MMA career, and he's going to be re-signing with an exclusive deal with the WWE. And that was kind of, a lot of people were in limbo about that, myself included. I wasn't sure what was going on, because there was a lot of indication that Lesnar was going to re-sign with the UFC. He recently appeared at a UFC event. He was in talks with Dana White. And a lot of people have questioned his passion when it comes to wrestling, to, as Eddie Goldman calls it, the fake pro wrestling. By the way, Eddie Goldman turned 66 years old this Friday, folks, okay? 66 years old for the great Eddie Goldman. He's going to be having, I won't be able to attend his birthday party, but he's going to be having a birthday party in New York City at some sort of restaurant. I don't have the details, but you could visit his website at, just visit nhb.news or nhbnews.blogspot.com, or I believe you could visit eddiegoldman.com and check out the details for his upcoming celebration. 66 years. Unbelievable. I've known Eddie, as he pointed out when I was on his show a few weeks ago. I've known Eddie for close to 10 years now, and he's the best in the business. He really is. He's you know, just a beacon of the sport, beacon of light. He's someone that has a lot of integrity. And, you know, when I was on his show a couple weeks ago, it really created a lot of buzz, because Eddie and I both gave our opinions on the state of mixed martial arts, and a lot of people did not appreciate what Eddie had to say about the MMA fans out there. But that's how Eddie is. Eddie's opinion hasn't changed. He definitely calls it like he sees it, and that's why so many people have come to appreciate and respect Eddie Goldman over the years. But anyway, we're going back to Brock Lesnar. Now, a lot of people questioned his commitment to wrestling, you know, questioned his desire, you know, compared to other, you know, athletes, compared to other WWE wrestlers. And one of the things I think was very telling is when Lesnar, I gave that interview with Jonathan Coachman, he said, you know, basically I'm a part-time worker, and I'm getting paid full time. This is a guy who apparently is making a lot of money. He's got his own private jet. And it's hard to imagine that he would be paid more fighting for the UFC, because we know how low UFC fighters are paid. Now you've got even Jose Aldo coming out and complaining about the money that he's making with the UFC. And so it's, to me, I couldn't understand why Brock would want to come back to the UFC. He undoubtedly would do well in the heavyweight division, given, you know, all the problems and the lack of, I want to say, not talent, but the lack of depth in the heavyweight division, a division that's really been plagued with injuries. Now you've got the interim champion, Fabricio Werdum, who really is a great fighter, but he's just, I've never been one to think that Fabricio Werdum is going to, you know, get people to order pay-per-views or to watch events, even though he's a great fighter. He's been around the sport a long time. He's just not not someone that is exciting to the fans. And that's not to say that he doesn't have a good finishing record. It's not to say his Brazilian jiu-jitsu isn't great. But I think a lot of people would have been excited to see Lesnar back in the UFC because he was just such an explosive fighter. And he's just such a presence. But the WWE has got him, and I don't want to really get into analysis of WWE, but I think part of the reason why they've retained him is because they don't have anybody else, really. Brock Lesnar is a commanding presence. There's no question about that. And him and Paul Heyman are great together. And you don't have a lot of presence like that in the WWE. You just don't have the star power from guys like, I don't even watch it. I'll be honest with you. After the Attitude Era expired, I don't even watch the WWE, but a lot of people still do. So it's really, 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 really interesting. We got another email here. Let's see if we got an update. Yeah. So we're waiting for Matthew Dolly on the program, and he says, in limbo, tell my mom and fiance who are listening that I'm safe. He is safe. So that's an email I just got from. He's supposed to be calling back into the program in just a few moments. So we're going to bring you him on the air as soon as he does. I want to welcome all the people from the Underground Forum who are listening to the program. The Underground Forum, which has really been, I consider it the nucleus of the MMA world, okay? It took me a couple times to pronounce that name, but hey, we had a president who couldn't pronounce nuclear. Remember that, George W. Bush? But in any event, we've been a part of the Underground since 2005 and 2006, and so is Dolly as well. You know, Matthew's been posting there for quite a long time, and we want to welcome the folks over from that great forum. Also, if you want to give us a call, 347-326-9749, 347-326-9749. We have the chat room open as well. And this is going to be on MMALatestNews.com. That is MMALatestNews.com, probably in a few days or so. All right? We're going to write up a nice little article, and hopefully we can get some more publicity, or hopefully we can get some people to really consider letting Matthew in to the UFC. Okay, this is definitely a noble cause, and I think from what I've seen, and from everything I've heard, even though the folks over at Duke Rufus's camp have told us that CM Punk is like a sponge, he's doing very well and whatnot, but I just can't picture Matthew not having a chance to beat CM Punk. The only thing I would say is that I think a lot of people are expecting the UFC to put CM Punk up against someone who is a well-known fighter, someone who they perceive is going to give him a challenge. And so that would be one of my questions to Matthew is, do you think that if the UFC actually did give him a shot to go against CM Punk, that a lot of fans would be disappointed about that? Because, again, people are trying to, or people want to see CM Punk really, really put to the test in his opening fight. I think that, like I said, there's going to be a lot of fans. There's going to be a lot of WWE fans tuning in or ordering the pay-per-view or whatnot. And I think they're going to want to see him against somebody that they really think is a very, very well-established fighter, because it could have future implications for him as a fighter. If he goes in there and he beats someone who's making his UFC debut and – has someone like Matthew's record, I don't know what that's going to do for him. But in any event, it's all how you look at these things. It's all how you analyze the matchups. In New Jersey, which is my home state, in just about a little over 2 weeks or so, actually more like 3 weeks, you have the UFC Fight Night at Newark, okay? And I'm actually kind of interested. I don't know if I'm going to be going to this event because, first of all, the UFC is very, very strict about press credentials. I know for a fact they probably wouldn't credential the show, and it's just going to be a pain in the butt, even though Newark is right in my backyard. I'm about maybe 40 miles south of Newark. All right, but, and, you know, I've heard some, I don't want to really I get into rumors, but, you know, some of these events, particularly in New Jersey, have had problems, you know, not running these events, but problems in the stands and whatnot. And I just, you know, I don't know. And plus the seats are $40, and we're talking about nosebleed seats. And that's not good. I don't want. I remember, you know, years ago, pre-Zuffa, you could go to the Taj Mahal, which they used to run out of the Taj Mahal a lot, and you could buy a ticket for like $20 bucks. And I used to go there all the time. And I saw Carlos Newton beat Pat Miletich for the title. I saw BJ Penn. You know, I saw so many UFC cards down there when you had the Taj Mahal Arena, which I think seats about 5,000 people. And it was because $25 wasn't that much. You could go there and you had a really, really good time. I saw Andrei Arlovsky beat Aaron Brink. I saw Bobby Hoffman. Remember Bobby Hoffman knock out Mark Robinson with an elbow, Mark Robinson, the strongman competitor. So many fights. And I saw probably the most famous match, the most interesting match, I guess, would be when Shoni Carter knocked out Matt Serra. That was really, really amazing. I mean, I remember being in the stands for that, and the excitement when that took place, because he knocked him out with that legendary spinning back fist. And so you just had a lot of memories. It was really, really great. But you could go to an event now, $40 for a seat that's not that good, you know, a seat in the higher portion of the arena. I would do that. I really don't. You know, it may not be for me. But nonetheless, you have Luke Rockhold on this card fighting Lyoto Machida. And I'm not one to give predictions. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Half of my predictions are wrong. And anybody that says that they're 100% correct predictions, anyone who says, oh, I get them right now, it's hard to be correct, or it's hard to have a good percentage of predictions that turn out to be correct in this sport, because it's just, you just don't know a lot of times, okay? I mean, we could say with a degree of certainty that Ronda Rousey is going to defeat Betch Cohera when they fight. We could say, you know, with I guess, fairly reasonable degree of certainty that John Jones most likely is going to win versus Anthony Rumble Johnson when they fight. But some of the other, you know, non-dominant champion fights, it's really a toss-up. But I think that Lyoto Machida is going to win this fight. In fact, I would probably put money on it, because Lyoto Machida just doesn't get taken down, okay? And Rockhold is a very good striker that will wind on. He throws heavy kicks, and he's a big, tall, he's a very strong striker and strikes, but you don't see a lot of Luke Rock knockouts. You see a lot of, you know, Luke Rockhold submission. Of course, he submitted Tim Boach. Of course, he submitted Michael Bisping. But I wouldn't give him the edge in striking in this fight. I know that this fight is not going to go to the ground. So therefore, I'd have to put Lyoto Machida as a favorite. You know, I'd have to say that this guy is most likely going to win. And if I had to say, it would probably be either a knockout. Probably would be a decision. Okay. But again, that's my prediction for the fight. And then you also have on this card another really interesting matchup in the middleweight division. Yoel Romero versus Jacare. And Yoel Romero was really coming off that controversial fight versus Tim Kennedy, in which won via third round knockout, but there was that tap in the corner, whatever you want to call it, where Yoel Romero was allowed to sit for an extra 30 seconds or something like that, and Tim Kennedy was really, really pissed off because he felt that John McCarthy should have stood him up, and he should have continued the fight, and then Romero said he basically didn't do anything wrong, and so it's really interesting. But and you've got Jacare, who's just been a real, real, but all right, he's going to call in about 5 minutes or so. Matthew Dolly is going to be calling in 5 minutes. Let's take a break. My mouth is starting to get a little dry now. And no, I'm not smoking pot. I've never smoked pot. We're going to take a brief time out here on Carson's Corner. We'll be right back after this timeout, and hopefully Matthew Dolly will be on the program with us when we return back from this brief timeout. So you're listening to Carson's Corner in conjunction with MMALatestNews.com, and hopefully when we come back, we'll be speaking to Matthew Dolly.
I got no soul. Life is prison, no parole, no control. Dude, I got my number on a wiretap. Cause I jacked for Similac. Fuck a Cadillac, so fine. One motive, no broken. Them new sidewalk, I'm off just like a tightrope. Yes, I know my deadline, sire. With my life in fire, I'm sending me resembling the barbed wire. The mother of my genre, who's a mind at my grave. It's my life for that life, so call it a free trade. Well, neither am I even born a star. I took a death trip when I tried to cross.
is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. As the cleanup process begins after a natural disaster, there may be areas of flooding. Constantly watch your children to prevent playing in or around water. It doesn't take long and it doesn't take much water for young children to drown. In many cases, children who drowned had been out of sight less than 5 minutes and were in the care of one or both parents at the time. To learn more, call CDC at 800-CDC-INFO.
All right, we're back here on Carson's Corner. My name is Bob Carson, powered by MMALatestNews.com. And we're waiting for Matthew Dolly to call in. He's supposed to be calling in any minute now. We're going to discuss a drive, a journey that he's been on to fight CM Punk in the UFC. Okay, so you're listening, UFC? In the past, we've had UFC representatives on this program, really just one, Mark Ratner. And we've spoken to fighters who were unsigned when they did the interview, and then after they appeared on our show, they became signed to the UFC. Todd Duffy comes to mind. Todd Duffy was signed within a few days after he was on this program. We also spoke to Chris Tuscher, the heavyweight out of North Dakota, who fought in Yama, fought in the UFC. He's no longer with the UFC, but he was one of Brock Lesnar's training partners. And he came on our program, and then sure enough, what do you know, he was with the UFC, he was signed with the UFC. So there's a good possibility that the UFC is going to be listening to this program. And so without further ado, let's go back to Matthew Dolly from Florida. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, and I sincerely apologize for that, but duty calls sometimes, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you doing this, and we know that you have a service and you have a commitment, and we really, really respect that. So we thank you again for making time for us. So you're still technically an amateur, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So it makes sense that you wouldn't have been pushing for a wild media blitz in the past. Now that you have your sights on a recent UFC signee, CM Punk, a.k.a. Phil Brooks, whatever, I think that's his real name. You've got a lot of support here. A lot of people seem to really, really appreciate what you're doing. But let's recap where you were and what you were doing when you heard about the announcement that he had signed with the UFC. Did you see this on the show?
Yeah, actually, it's funny you say that, but I did see it did it live, and I was actually at my fire department. How ironic is that? That I got to see it. And what happened was, as they were announcing the signing, I, being the guy in the fire station that is boxed for fight, everybody kind of asked my opinion on what's going on. And one of the guys I work with kind of were like, "Who is that guy?" And I said, "I have no clue. They're saying he's a wrestler. Whatever." And then one of them posed the question, like, "You think you could beat that guy?" And I was like, "I'm pretty sure I could probably beat that guy, especially if he's had, no training or whatnot." And it just kind of, started the conversation, if you will. And then, that's when I took it to some forums and stuff and brought it up. And that's kind of where the fire sparked, if you will, and the avalanche started. And it just kind of has kept going and hasn't stopped. It honestly has gotten more attention than I thought it would.
So this was, when they announced that this was your first urge, was to try to emerge as a potential opponent from the get-go. And this has kind of just grown ever since they announced this match. Were you, or announced his signing. Were you dismissive of the idea after you first heard it, or did you kind of latch on to it without any hesitation? I'm talking about the signing of CM Punk.
I mean, When the question was posed, I guess, with my buddies, it was a laughable thing because, I'm confident I could fight the guy and beat him. And then how it lingered in my brain, and like I said, I took to, the underground and, Facebook or whatever, and people were just like, it stuck with me, man. There's something about when people believe in you or have support in you that you almost, in a way, almost feel obligated to yourself and other people to at least see it through. And, I know a lot of people tell me I'm stupid, crazy, nuts, or or whatever, then they're probably all right to an extent. But, you know, if you don't at least try, you're never going to know. So I could either sit on a recliner and never know, or I could put a little bit of effort into this and see where it goes. You know, I mean, either way, I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to have my life to live it. So at least try to do something. You know, that's kind of how it went.
That's a good point. I saw that you floated the idea fairly quickly on the Underground after the announcement, but did you mention it privately to your family or friends at all?
No, I didn't. It was kind of like in between my friends at the firehouse and, you know, then I kind of went with it. I know better than to talk about my family or my fiance with it because they would beat me up more than anybody else would if they knew. So you ever hear the saying, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission? It's pretty true.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you made the Underground thread, and I think it's fair to say there was some skepticism about your qualifications and motives, but how would you describe the response to begin with? I mean, did people react differently than you expected, or did it fall in the line of what you were anticipating?
Well, I mean, with anything in life, there are always going to be negative naysayers, and so I really honestly expected more than I got. I've gotten more negative naysayers as this has gotten bigger, which, you know, surprised me that it took this long. But, I mean, the reaction, honestly, was really well accepted by many people because, and then, you know, I think one thing that helped is from the beginning, I've never tried to paint a picture of something different than what the situation is. I am not a world-class pro UFC caliber fighter. I'm not, but neither is really this guy. He's honestly getting signed because he's extremely popular. And I think that's great. I'm not one of those guys that has a huge thing against it. You know, 9 years ago, we would have all done backflips at Pride over this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a fan of fighting, and, you know, if the guy wants to be a part of it and the UFC can make a deal, that why am I going to hate on him? But, you know, as I was saying, this guy maybe isn't deserving by the standard of fighter quality, but he's there. And the thing is they need somebody to fight him that, number one, can be legally commissioned by an athletic, you know, an athletic commission. And number two, you know, my kind of thing is if they're going to get somebody like him by the fighter qualifications that's not deserving of it, why not give it to somebody else? You know, like a lot of people say they want to see a celebrity fight or whatever, and I get that's great, and that could be really entertaining. But also at the same time, like, I'm a person, I've, you know, trained at gym for years and years now. I've cornered a lot of amateur guys through their first, second, third fight. You know, I've taught a lot of new guy stuff and all that 9 yards. And, you know, I've been somewhat of a stable person in the area where I train, I guess you could say, and I've touched a lot of lives. And I just feel like, if not me, somebody like me kind of deserves that shot, you know, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we circle back around CM Punk as an opponent, let's talk about your background in combat sports. How did you get started as an amateur MMA fighter? I mean, do you have a background in wrestling or have a familiar discipline base?
Actually, I started wrestling in the third grade in Ohio, and it was honestly many years of getting my butt kicked because I was one of the worst wrestlers that's ever lived. And, you know, I had a very mediocre high school wrestling career. I had a little bit of success, but not a lot. And so when I joined the military straight out of high school, and I coached a local high school wrestling team when I got stationed at my first assignment. And I was just a volunteer assistant coach. The team was great to allow me to be there and help out. Well, you know, when you're 18, 19 years old, coaching isn't your passion. You want to compete and do things. So that's when I started, like, dabbling in to judo schools or jiu-jitsu schools. And what I ended up doing was finding a combat submission wrestling school. And, man, that was, like, my life for a few years there was being at the combat submission wrestling school that was opened at the time in this area. So that's what kind of got me into MMA. I really thought I was just going to do, like, grappling arts because it was my thing. But, you know, CSW is a no-gi art, which I liked way better than gi stuff at the time, especially because I never wore a gi. And then the fact it was like, okay, you know, today is the ground night, and you come in the next day stand-up, you just end up actually doing the stuff, you know, and one thing led to another, and, you know, here I am.
Yeah, I've got some in-ring experience as well, and I know firsthand that the average person can't really imagine just how intense it could be, and I think CM Punk is going to find that out very soon if it all goes to plan. You've established a pretty decent record as an amateur, something like 3-1, am I right?
Yeah, that's my amateur MMA record is 3-1.
Why didn't you go pro yet? I mean, was that something that had crossed your mind, or?
Well, I mean, to be honest, you know, with some guys, fighting is their life, and when you fight, fighting is your life. Like, when I was training and fighting and stuff, like, you don't have anything else. But for me, you know, like, it was a journey, and it was a hobby, and I didn't want, like, I didn't put a dollar bill sign on it to the extent where, like, I want to turn pro and make money. It was about, like, getting through chapters of your life and using fighting as a tool and stuff like that. And, you know, like, I've always wanted to go pro, but the thing is every time I fought amateur, no matter where it was at, it was pro rules except for no elbows, period, and no kneeing to the head, period. Any place I've ever fought amateur, you could punch on the ground to the head, you could kick to the head standing, there was no shin guard, you know, stuff like that. So I've not fought under today's traditional amateur rules, you know, where there's the standing eight counts. I never, ever fought under those rules. So to me, it was kind of like, it wasn't like I felt like I already fought pro, because I didn't, because the rounds are longer and the rules are different. But it was just about, I was satisfying my need at the time. I just never, the opportunity never rose that piqued my curiosity to drive me to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And you're juggling this stuff with your career as a firefighter, as I mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, back in those days, I was all by myself doing whatever I wanted. You know, now I'm to get married in a couple months. I have a 2-year-old son, and, you know, on top of that, that pretty much takes a lot of time. Now you're talking about going to work for 24 hours every third day, and then trying to find the gym in between there. It definitely takes some time management, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, there's something of a traditional overlap between fighting fires and fighting other people in the ring for money. I mean, all the way from fireman Jim Flynn, who may not have been an actual fireman, to Chris Lytle and to Jason Brills in the modern era of MMA. So, you know, and even Don Fry. Don Fry was said to have been a fireman. So, you know, there are some people that really have managed to sort of balance the two. So you'd be looking to make your pro debut with this fight, just like CM Punk is. Is it possible they won't want to risk Punk losing to someone who won't then stick around to have a full pro career?
I mean, I think it's possible they're not going to want him to fight somebody that has had some experience, because, you know, like, The thing I revert back to, and no disrespect to any combatant that's ever fought, but the example I use is like when Herschel Walker fought his pro debut.
Yeah.
I think he fought a guy that was like 1-1 or something like that, but you could tell the guy wasn't exceptionally seasoned, if you will, even though he had a couple fights. I feel like they're going to want somebody like that, but I mean, I understand that if somebody out there hears this and they'll even give me the 5 seconds of consideration and it leads to me being signed, I very much understand that it's going to be a one-fight contract, and depending on how that goes, we go from there. But if this, you know, if the success is what they like and they want to offer me something else, I'm not saying that's not a possibility ever. You know, like, I think that would be all absolutely amazing that if I got this fight and found victory, and then afterwards they said, hey, you know, we want you to do it again with somebody else, I would probably do it. You know, why not? I mean, you only live once, and it's like a dream to fight for the world's largest organization. Now, I'm going to say that the if I fight a pretty seasoned UFC fighter, the results are probably going to be a little bit different, but, I mean, I'll still go out there and give it what I got. I mean, there's no fear in that. So, but, I mean, if I won, I wouldn't be a one-and-done if they wanted me to stick around, by no means.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question, is what are your long-term goals in the sport?
Oh, man, my goal in the sport is to help people. That's always been my goal. You know, when my son was born, I took some time off. And when I got back into the gym, the first thing I told my fiance about being back in the gym was it feels good to help people. Like when you get in there and there's new students and they like see that you're experienced and they want like your opinion or your instruction on positions and you show them and then the next time you roll, they use it against you and they have success. It's a good feeling to help people. You know, that's my favorite thing in life. So, you know, my goal is to like, it isn't my goal to be like UFC best ever fighter or anything like that. My goal in life in this sport is a part of my life is to help people and make people happy. You know, like that's my biggest joy. And yeah, sometimes I'm selfish and I have my own training camps and I go fight every few years, but you know, I mean, that's the sport for me is the satisfaction you get from seeing people change their lives, whether it's weight loss, confidence, whatever, you know, that's what it is for me.
For a while, I wondered if they would actually think about signing Jason David Frank, the former Power Ranger actor, and there was a lot of talk about that. I mean, I could see them thinking, screw it, we already hired a 0-0 pro wrestler with no sparring experience. Get the Power Ranger guy in here. However, I think Frank is bigger than Punk, despite being several inches shorter. And there's something about Frank that I can't put my finger on. I mean, I don't know the man, so I can't judge him on a personal level. I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if he was killed by the cops after an armed standoff or something like that. I mean, I don't know. But shout out to Jason David Frank, originally the Green Ranger. Not to labor this point, but I think I could see him being taken out by snipers after taking hostages dressed as a Power Ranger and wielding a sword or something like that. But more so than anything, you know, it's going to be interesting to see you know, what happens because he's supposedly going to be fighting at 170, but I don't know if he'll be able to make that because there was some talk about him going to fighting at 185. And fortunately for you, that's the same weight you've been fighting at for a while, right?
Yeah, I actually have fought at both 170 and 185. So
right.
If they were to make it 185, it's a little bit nicer on me, I guess, because it's closer. But if they were to be like, hey, we want you to do this at 170, that's definitely not a problem at all. I mean, everybody, that means we're going to have to sit in a sauna. But, you know, it is what it is, and you do it. And I've done it before. I've done it with other fighters when they cut weight. I mean, it's not a problem.
Would it be fair to say that you're primarily a top player and a ground-and-pound fighter?
Yeah, I mean, anybody can look up records. I've won all three of my fights by submission, and all, like, you know, all of them are from top position. So, I mean, when it comes to fighting, unless you are extremely, extremely gifted or extremely better than the person that you're, you know, combating against, it always pays to be the person on top, you know? Like, some people can be the better guy on top or on bottom by all means. But, I mean, if you and I are equal, you want to be on top because you can do more things. That's my philosophy on fighting. I'm not saying it's perfect or other people won't disagree because, you know, everybody fights differently. But my philosophy is, you know, like, person on top can control position a little bit better. The person on top can throw punches better. You know, you can smother your opponent. You can make it hard for them to breathe. You know, and I have to say this, like, before I get overly flamed. Yeah, the guy on bottom is never out of the fight. Yeah, the guy on bottom has a great game. You know, he can do wonders on. I mean, we've seen too many fighters do magical things from the bottom. But I'm just saying if both guys are kind of, like, at the same level, yeah, the guy on top is going to be the guy that is, you know, winning the situation.
How do you think that matches up with Punk? I mean, who I think we can assume is going to be a rudimentary safety-first kickbox on paper, probably with a decent ground game. And, of course, you know, we might see Punk step up in the cage and go crazy, winging haymakers, you know, taunting and scrambling through a million different positions before someone gets knocked out. But how do you think you would match up against him?
Well, I mean, I think I match up against him well, you know, like I'm experienced and somewhat seasoned for an amateur. And the thing is, you know, I guess he's a jiu-jitsu guy or he's trained jiu-jitsu off and on and he's, like, got a lot of pictures and videos of famous people. So you're going to think that's, like, his strong point. But, man, when you get in a fight, like, I think it was Mike Tyson that said everybody's got a game plan until you get punched in the face. You know, every time I fought, if they've tried to make a game plan, I've only ever stuck to one, you know, and it's not because I don't listen to my coaches. It's because things can change when you're in there. So I think I match up against him well. He's a little bit taller than me. I'm probably going to be a little bit thicker, like stockier in the chest and in the back. And, you know, like if he wants to grapple, I'm a wrestler, so we'll probably see some stuff there. But, you know, there's a good chance that if he's that good with his grappling that he can, you know, null and void my wrestling, and then it turns to a stand-up. And I think that's honestly where the fight would be decided, you know, is where if we're both on the ground, it's always where both guys are weaker is where the fight can be decided. So, you know, if it stayed on the feet, that's what I think where the yes or no is going to happen. And, you know, people say all the time, I have absolutely no disrespect to any person that does any athletic thing, whether it's soccer, hockey, or, you know, professional wrestling. I loved it as a kid. I grew up and watched it. Sorry, Dad, I know you hated me for it, but I loved it as a kid, you know, and I respect it. But when you get in a true fight, you don't know what the situation is till you really get hit. And, like, I trained with really good guys. All that 9 yards, I thought I was ready. And, you know, it was actually my second amateur fight when I got punched for the first time really hard in the face. And it took me the rest of the round to figure out what the hell just happened, because I was not ready for it. And no matter how ready you think you are, until you experience it, you're not ready. And you can be the most in-shape person on the planet. Until you see minute 12 of a fight, you don't know what tired means, you know. And that's just one of those things that he can be as prepared as he wants, but he may conquer and be great. I'm not saying he's not going to have success. I just mean, like, I think if the fight gets to the standing point where both guys are there, I think my experience would weigh out on him, because I've been hit in the face before and not been knocked down or not been knocked out. You know, I can't say the same for him.
Well, that was going to be sort of my next question. Would you be prepared to get highlight reeled by an ugly punch or kick or TKO'd with weak punches on the ground while mounted, all for the potential glory of possibly beating a former WWE wrestler?
Let me tell you this. I've taken that risk before.
Yeah.
With a lot less consequences, you know, or like, you know, there's more to gain out of me winning this than any other fight I've ever taken. So, you know, like I say, it's on record. Anybody can look it up, but, you know, my last fight, I got the living snot beat out of me by like a 21 or 22 year old young, you know, man. And I was like 27 or 28 at the time. And I mean, holy hell, like that was, you know, whatever, but it is what it is. And there is absolutely not a dollar to gain out of that. So, you know, when you fight and you step into the ring, you always take that chance of something happening. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter who you're fighting or whatnot. That's just the name of the game. As somebody once said, it's the holy cow factor. So, yeah, you know, whether it's him or 3 years from now I fight again and I fight some Joe Schmo I don't know, I'm willing to take that risk, because that's why you go in the ring for, you know.
What will your attitude be if you don't get to fight him? And I joke that you might tell stories about how the fight almost happened and he ducked you, sort of like Bruce Springsteen's song Glory Days. But how disappointed would you be?
I mean, I would be disappointed because I feel like it could be a great matchup. I feel like it's something that could sell. I feel like it's easy to market and all that 9 yards. But I have, you know, a beautiful home. I have a wonderful career. I have a wonderful, lovely, beautiful, you know, bride-to-be. We have an awesome, amazing son. I have a great family, great parents. Like, this doesn't change any good out of my life. I'm not going to spiral into a depression and drink or anything like that, you know. If it were to happen, that would be awesome, and I'd be stoked, and I would dedicate my life to it. And if it doesn't happen, I'm still going to be at the gym on Monday, still doing my thing, you know. That, you know, it's not going to be something that changes my life for the bad if they didn't choose me.
Then again, if the fight does get made, you might start basically crapping yourself straight away, knowing that you would be an instant kind of celebrity with a lot of people looking at you to fail and maybe a few hoping you'd win. Your life could potentially change overnight, at least for a while. Are you really ready for that outcome?
I thought about it a little bit, you know, as this gets more serious and I get more stranger support, I guess you can call it, because you get people you don't know emailing you and saying, like, hey, I think your story's awesome. I have prepared myself for that, and, you know, I like I said before, irony at its best, you really aren't prepared for something until you deal with it. But, I mean, the way I think is I'll just recluse as best as I can. You know, I live out in the woods, but I don't have a lot of neighbors. So I'm not going to have, like, you know, neighborhood kids knocking on my door or nothing, you know.
And
at my job, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, at the fire department, I'm going to get my chops busted and all that 9 yards. So there's just no dodging that bullet. So I think life will turn as it goes, you know, and any kind of news or media comes, I'll do my best with the people in my life to, you know, handle it professionally in the right way, you know.
I've seen you only fight a little bit, but for someone with only an amateur background or amateur experience, you seem like a decent fighter. I watched a little bit of the international MMA, and I see pro fighters, you're clearly better than semi-regularly. Are you sandbagging here a little bit? I mean, is it possible you're too good to fight a celebrity with limited experience and that you're cynically looking to make a name for yourself through misrepresentation, a sort of bait and switch, if you will?
Well, I mean, I haven't bait or switched or I haven't sandbagged anything. You know, my record's on is everything is on the internet. I'm so dumb, I even put my fights, including my loss, on the internet. So if there's any kind of, like, you know, sandbagging to be done, it's not by me. I'm saying who I am. I'm saying what I've done. I've even told you my strong points and my weak points in fighting. So, I mean, if somebody wants to claim me as a sandbagger, then okay, you know, that's fine. Once again, people are going to be negative. But, I mean, do I think if I take myself away from the situation and I look at two other people, a guy with what I have being matched up against CM Punk, I'm definitely going to think the 3-1 amateur with more experience has the better chance. I mean, that is what it is. But the flip side, although I train at an awesome gym and I have an awesome instruction core and, you know, all that 9 yards, I'm not training with world champion Anthony Pettis and, you know, world-level wrestler Ben Askren, you know. Like, so he definitely has way more things to tap into than I do in that avenue, per se, you know. So I don't feel like I'm sandbagging at all. I'm a pro debuter. It's going to be a new experience for me. Hell, I'm going to be, if God forbid this happens, I'm going to be shoveled in front of the entire world, you know, and I'm going to have to learn to deal with that, something that he already knows how to do. So, I mean, that's, I don't know, not to ramble on, but that's my 2 cents on that, I guess.
Well, I have to admit, if you pounded Punk out inside of one round and then grabbed the mic and cut a promo about how you suckered everyone into destroying their new golden goose, I would fully support that and would be highly amused by it.
Well, for anybody out there listening, it is nothing like that. And one reason why I'm taking the approach I'm having is everybody, even contracted UFC fighters, saying, F this guy, he doesn't deserve it. I want to punch his face. I want to break his nose. I have absolutely nothing against Punk, and it is nothing personal with this Phil Burks person. He's just a person at work, loves in his shorts to me, that wants to fight somebody. But for me, what it is a window of opportunity to possibly get a fight for the world organization and maybe leave on a small, cool legacy for my son and my family to look up to for the rest of their life. You know, that's what it is for me. I mean, and that's why I'm not going to come on a radio show and say, F this guy, I can kick his ass, all that 9 yards.
Right.
It's not who I am, number one. And I'm not going to be like everybody else that says that kind of stuff, you know. I'm not a sheep, you know. I'm not going to follow everybody else. I'm here for the opportunity to fight.
Well, one edge, as you mentioned, that Punk has over you would be experience on the big stage. I mean, you fought on shows like Caged on the Campus, which sounds like sort of a frat party event. But you know, has it crossed your mind at all that you might freeze allowing Punk to submit you with a basic straight armbar or something like that?
Well, I mean, the thing about the ring is when you get in there, there's nobody else, you know? And I know that, like, in professional wrestling, he knows how to use the crowd and all that 9 yards.
Right.
That's probably a good attribute to have. But, like, my last fight, you know, was in front of, I want to say, 2,000 or more people. And it was in my hometown. And like I said, I got my ass kicked. you want to talk about like pressure and build up and let down and all that 9 yards. You know, I didn't freeze. It didn't bother me. You know, I went out there and fought to the best of my ability that day, and I came up short. That's the name of the game. And that's something that the experience will help me is when the door shuts and it's just you and a ref, you can play the crowd all you want. They are not going to fill up your gas tank. It's all about you and the person in there and what you can do to keep yourself, you know, from burning your gas tank and fighting at a high level and all that 9 yards. So, I mean, maybe to an extent, like being in front of tens of thousands of people might kind of like be a first for me. But man, if you're a real fighter and you've been there, when you get in the ring and the door shuts, you don't see nobody else. I've never seen cameras. I've never seen lights. I don't even see the ref. You see one other person, and that's all you think about.
You also fought on the show Hits in the Hills, which sort of sounds like a stoner music festival. And that was your first loss as a competitor, which you just talked about. Can you describe the way the fight played out and what went wrong for you there?
You know, just the way the fight played out was, you know, typical fighter, you know, crap. I had a couple of injuries for the fight, and I was one of the main draws for the amateur show. If you like, I told you, it was my hometown, a town of, you know, 7,000 people. You do the math, you know, not a lot goes on there. So of course, I had a lot of fans there. I sold a lot of tickets in that 9 yards. And, you know, I wasn't going to back out of the fight because I injured myself, and it was honestly the first time I've ever fought injured. I didn't limp in the ring. I strutted my happy behind in the ring ready to fight, and it's not an excuse, but it did kind of hinder me a little bit. And I give my opponent all the credit because I was able to get him down early in the fight and kind of punch him a little bit, and he just kind of weathered the storm. And then the second round, I think he figured out that I was wincing in pain, you know, and I was injured. And he just swarmed me, and I honestly didn't. I had a hard time fending him off and doing anything. You know, I'm not going to say that if I wasn't injured, the fight wouldn't have been different because it's not how the world works. You know, I lost that day. That's all there is to it. He's a better fighter than I am, so I can beat him.
Yeah, your opponent from that fight went on a 4-fight win streak afterwards. So it seems like his record was peaking as a fighter when you were matched up. How do you think the people you faced already compare with someone like CM Punk? I mean, after his training at Rufus Sport.
Well, the kid that beat me, you know, his name is Shane Mao, really good, nice kid, whatever, you know, we remain acquaintance friends. And it was funny because, you know, I knew people and he knew people that, like, knew me in the middle or on the underground or whatever. And it's funny because, like, he literally stiffed and knocked out, like, 3 or 4 people or whatever it was after me. And it's funny because people that watched that fight that were, like, in his corner or whatever would tell me, like, I cannot believe, you know, he didn't knock you out because he literally hit you way harder than he hit all these people. And it's like, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough, I guess. But somebody like Shane, I mean, he probably hits 1,000 gazillion times harder than CM Punk hits, without a doubt. I mean, that kid, you know, he has literally stiffened, I think, 3, 4, 5 people. I mean, that when you knock somebody out so bad that they're having, you know, extension in their limbs, that's not a good thing. It's good for him, it's not good for everybody else. And then as far as the other fighters, I know my first fight was against a guy, had a couple losses. I mean, he wasn't really all that great. And then my second fight was against a really talented amateur fighter out of Georgia named Carlson Spalding. He probably in every facet of the game, especially at that point, was way more skilled than Punk. He had decent jits, decent ground. He had really good kickboxing. He was the first guy to kick me in the leg 100 times, and it really sucked. And the only thing was is he didn't have the best anti-wrestling game. So I was able to take him down and armbar him at the last minute of the fight. That's how I won. I gutted out so he was tired.
I got to say, I was a little surprised that Punk chose Rufus to train with him after some of the allegations and improper conduct which have come to light more recently. Let's say you hit Punk and his reaction was to particularly turn away, cover up, and make an ugh noise of pain and distress. How do you think you would react being the other man in the ring if he folded completely and had a cringeworthy moment?
I would continue to fight until the fight was stopped. So, you know, like you train that kind of stuff in the gym or that kind of mentality. If someone wants to turn their back and run, you know, you fight until the fight stops. And if the ref stops the fight, and if it's because of an illegitimate thing, like I've seen fights, especially in amateur shows, that happens, you know, and no disrespect to anybody that's ever fought, because getting to the cage is the most difficult part. But, you know, you do see guys that actually, they stop the fight because of cowardice. It happens. If that was the case, and if that were to happen, you know, it is what it is, and I'll deal with the situation in the moment. I'm not going to kick him while he's down. I'm not going to spit on him. I'm not going to call a name. You know, I'm not that kind of person. I'm going to say, like, I wish you would have came to fight. You know, I wanted to show my skill set, but, you know, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for him, me, the fans, any organization ever, you know, the sport. But if something like that were to happen, it is what it is, you know, and you just deal with it in that moment. I'm not, like, the angry person where I'd want to, like, you know, kick him in his back or something, or call him a sissy or something. I'm not that kind of person.
Let's talk about the reaction you've had so far. I mean, how would you describe the response to your initial thread?
Oh, man, my initial thread, the response was by all means awesome. And, you know, like I said, a lot of people say it ain't going to happen, but we support you. And by all means, when I took this journey, you know, I always say it's like a less than 1% chance that would even get the neuritis, the backing it's had. But, you know, between posting stuff on Facebook, and I don't mean just my Facebook, but like UFC's page on stuff, or posting on the Underground, and then I made my Twitter. At first, I got nothing but positive response, and everybody was like, we would love to see the average run-of-the-mill guy like you get a shot and, you know, beat him, you know, welcome him to our world and show him that it's not just going to be easy because you're famous or something, which I don't think he believes that, but, you know, it's what everybody else thinks.
Is it possible that the unknown level of Punk's true skill is something that could be difficult to come to terms with on the fly?
Well, yeah, I mean, welcome to amateur fighting. You know, when you go out and you fight somebody that you know absolutely nothing about, you have to deal with their skill level on the fly. You know, like I said, my second fight, I thought I had it all figured out. And that dude punched me in the face for the first time, and he kicked my leg for the first time, and I had to deal with that on the fly, you know. And I suffered and somehow made it through and won the fight, you know. I feel like I dealt with it well. But, I mean, if I get in there and he's got, you know, dazzling combinations and incredible speed, I'll suck it up and deal with it and try to find a way. You know, that's what wrestlers do. You find a way.
Yeah, and going back to some of the form reaction, I do see some fans, a lot of fans supporting you, and we definitely support you as well, and I enjoy talking to you about this, and I feel your sincerity on this matter. And I think you're doing this for pretty humble reasons, you know, and you aren't calling yourself a world beater or disrespecting him personally, but we should give a nod to the criticism and address it a little here. I think we did a little bit of that today. I see some people feel like you're posting about wanting to fight him, but not actively seeking out. Is it true that UFC employees Dana White and some of his hanger-ons on the forum are sort of keeping it there? Are they? Do you think that the UFC has any type of awareness of your campaign here?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't have the slightest. The only awareness I know is I was dumb enough to Google Joe Silva's email, and I found it, and I actually emailed Joe Silva, and I didn't really give him the whole speech. I just said, this is my name, I'm interested, remember it, you know, I'll contact you again later, because it literally was like 4 weeks after the announcement, and he was nice enough to reply back and be like, hey, you're on the list, good luck, you know. So he didn't tell me I wasn't on the list, so I took it as good news, you know. That's probably the only anything anybody at the UFC knows, and he probably doesn't even know it, because I bet he's got, if not, he's probably gotten thousands of emails from idiots like me, you know. So I don't know if there's actually people that look at it from the UFC. I don't speculate that far. And people always say, oh, there's posters that are paid by the UFC. I ain't got a clue, man. I've got too much of my life going on to worry about than that, you know. But I'm using the avenues I know to seek some kind of attention, you know, if you will, or get some kind of light shed on the possibility of this matchup, you know. Your prime example, here I am on a live talk radio thing being interviewed about it. And you know what? If somebody hears it and they can give it a look or give it a shot, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think you sincerely want this fight. I think signing up for Twitter was a good step, and also being here. But I would also take it a step further. I know with your situation it may be difficult. I was disappointed that nobody flew to the Q&A to call him out face-to-face. I mean, our friend and rising star Dominique Robinson hijacked the Time Is Now press conference to great effect, and there's been some talk about him fighting in the UFC. And Joe Silva apparently said he was difficult to work with. I guess he'd be – yeah, Silva was I don't know if he was referring to Dominique or if he's what that quote was in reference to. But, you know, would that be something you'd consider if this continues to go on, they don't announce an opponent, and there's some sort of an event, there's some sort of way where you could take this beyond the forum and Twitter and you know the internet?
I mean, I'm not against taking it beyond the forum or beyond the internet or doing something, but this is what I'll say. Like, if Phil Brooks or CM Punk has a question and answer somewhere, whether it's a UFC event or whatever, I feel it is completely unprofessional and amateurish to, like, go stand in line and be like, hey, I want to fight you. You know,
right.
I mean, it's just, because then again, I'm doing what everybody else is doing, including the 3,500 drunk idiots that are there to watch it. I watch the question and answer, like a part of it. And, you know, it's just like a bunch of, and it, by all means, good for the fans having a good time, but it was like nobody took it serious. It was all drunken banter, and you know, like that's the vibe I got from it. I could be wrong, but you know, like I'm not gonna go there and be like, I want to fight you. Give me a chance. I just don't think that's the right way to go about it, because that's not gonna get me any attention. Like they're gonna look at me like I'm an idiot. Not like, oh shit, this guy, he had the balls to come call Sam Punk out to his face out of a question and answer. Whatever, anybody can have the guts to do that. You know what I mean? Like, a couple beers, hell, anybody would be brave enough to do something that dumb. But, you know, like, I'm here putting in a significant time and effort, like making social media contacts, which is something new to me, you know, and all that nine yards, you know, trying to get interviews or whatnot. I'm doing this kind of stuff because this shows I'm serious. That's
how
I take.
Have you tried calling up Zuffa to leave a message with the lovely but incredibly intimidating assistant Donna?
I have no idea who Donna is, and I have no idea how to get any of their phone numbers. And, you know, like I said, I contacted Joe Silva, and my email's there, so hopefully he may hear this, and my name might kind of stick. You know, I can email him again in a few days, and he'll remember it. That's kind of the avenue I'm going to go. I'm not going to be... You know, one thing that I don't want to become is annoying to where nobody wants me to be around to see this. So that's one reason why I'm not going to go to a question and answer and call out Punk like a WWF event. You know, this is fighting, not professional wrestling. And I'm not going to, like, blow up somebody's voicemail box at the UFC. You know, like, I'm putting a lot of my spare time and effort into this, but I've got a lot of responsibilities to stick to, like my wife and my son and my home and my job and my family and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to – it's out, completely out of my character to do something like that. Now, if they email me and tell me to call, I will call in a heartbeat. There will be no time wasted on that event. But as far as me, I'm not going to, like, call and be a nuisance to them, you know.
What do you want to say to the fans that are both supportive and skeptical about your desire to fight?
Just thank you, you know, to my family and friends that have believed in me since day one of my fighting stuff, including this CM Punk journey, if you will. And, you know, to the people that are, you know, skeptical or that are skeptical of it, I understand. I completely understand. And I probably sound ridiculously crazy and nuts, and I accept that, you know. But for anybody like yourself or other people that are involved in the sport, they realize it kind of makes sense, and they look at it and at least listen to it. And, you know, like, all I'm saying is give me a chance or give me the shot, you know, like, at least hear my story for 1 second. And, you know, I'm completely thankful for anybody that's ever believed in me and supported in me. So many training partners and coaches along the way that taught me things. I mean, from everybody, nobody's left out of that. you know, I'm thankful for all of it. If it wasn't for the love of people around you, no human being would be able to make it or excel anywhere. You know, like, I cannot express gratitude enough to stuff like that, you know.
Now, what about the UFC, who have the ultimate authority over making this matchup? What's the bottom line for them? Why should they pick you out of all the people who want to fight badly?
Well, I think the bottom line is they signed CM Punk to have to sell, you know, like they probably think it's cool and it's probably with curiosity, but they know he's going to bring a lot of buys and a lot of interest. So that's why I think it's, and I give him credit. He's really taken like the student role, if you will. You know, he hasn't done anything dumb. He's carried himself very well, and I think it's awesome. I'm actually a fan. You know, I don't know if I should say that. I'm actually a fan of how he's handling it. But the reason why I feel like I match up against him is I'm almost mirror of him. I'm not opposite. I'm not night and day. I'm almost mirror. Like, I'm a no-name person, but I do the right thing in life. I have a very respectable career. You know, I don't do wrong in the world or whatnot. And I have been in this game a long time, like I said, either helping people or whether it's, you know, seeking out my fighting adventure here and there. I hate to do this, but it is what it is. You know, I'm a veteran. I served in the military. You know, I am a career fireman, so, you know, it's an awesome job. You get to help people and all that 9 yards. You know, I'm a loving dad. I kind of fit that, like, all-American role, if you will, and I feel like it would be an easy matchup to sell. You know, like, if you're going to give somebody the chance at the UFC, it could be somebody that deserves it in a way. And by all means, there are tons of people that deserve it before I do. I'm not going to sit here and fight that notion. But as far as being matched up against Punk, I think I fit that slot pretty well.
Let's end on your message for CM Punk, a.k.a. Phil Brooks. Whatever anyone thinks about Phil Brooks, he keeps in to the ring, to the cage, with a 0-0 record. He's got no prior sparring experience when he signed, and this is a gigantic risk for him. So why should you fight Punk, or why should Punk fight you if he was listening?
I think that the UFC should make this kind of a fight because it's something that fans are going to be interested in. Everybody knows that if he fights, you know, an already contracted UFC fighter, what's going to happen? He's going to get demolished. If they bring in a no-name PUD that's like 0-1 or 1-1, they're going to say they fed him a can so they can build him. You give him a guy that's got some experience to him, that's likable, you know, people want to see that. Because I tell you right now, if he goes out there and manhandles me, people are going to be like, holy shit, you know, like, maybe he's not UFC level guy, but he's fought a guy that's got experience and he did well. That shows something, you know, like, I'm not going to go out there and keep my chin high and throw fist punches, like, with my palm forward or anything like that. Like, I'm a experienced guy. So it's a very good test for him if they want to see if he belongs in this game. You know, and on the flip side, if he doesn't and I ruin his night, I got to live, you know, they gave me the chance to, you know, live my, you know, American dream or my hope, if you will, and to fight for the Bigness organization and always be a hero to my son because I made it and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Now, let's really end by giving your social media information out and letting people know where they could follow your personal war quest. Like that story Dan the Wolfman wrote.
I'm not exactly sure what you mean that story Dan the Wolfman wrote. I'm a little lost.
Well, he was on some sort of journey to fight as well, and he released this. I think it was like a YouTube video, Warrior Quest, about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. I thought you meant someone's wrote about me, so I apologize. I step back. No, if anybody that wants to, you know, show their support and join the cause, you know, my Twitter is @Dawley170, and my last name is spelled Dawley 170. You know, I have a Facebook, but that, you know, that is my personal private Facebook. So if you, you know, if you friend request me and I don't know you and I don't add you, don't take it personal. And, you know, that's pretty, you know, Twitter is the number one really way to really get easy access to people. I communicate with everybody. If I get a message, I reply. If I get what's it called when they put on your wall? If I get tweeted or Twittered, I say something back. If I get followed, I follow back and I email the people and say thank you. You know, like if you want to be a part of the Dolly train, if you will, that's probably your best bet if it goes through Twitter. And you know, like it's not the biggest thing yet, but for each person that believes and joins and it grows, man, this can, you know, it's Lord knows how big it can get, and the bigger it gets, the better chance we have at making it.
Well, Matt, I want to wish you good luck with your endeavors. You seem like a sincere person doing this for reasons that don't involve narcissistic fame and glory. And I think people can get behind a guy like you, and I hope they do. Please come back if there are any developments on your end with a potential MMA career and a CM Punk. Matt Dolly, everyone, firefighter, cage fighter, and very nice guy from what I could tell. Should he fight CM Punk? Send us your feedback. Let us know. And hopefully we'll see you in there, my friend.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thank you for having me. Everybody, God bless.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Matt. And we'll talk to you sometime soon, hopefully.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest here today on Carson's Corner is Tony Ferguson. We really, really appreciate him coming on the show, especially after a huge performance against Abel Trujillo. Tony, how are you doing today?
Doing great, man. Just landed back in California, just ready to get back after it. I had some stitches after the fight, but those healed up, and I already let Joe Silva know that I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you seem like someone who attacks life and opponents with both hands. I mean, you strike me as being a motivated person and very well-disciplined person. I think those attributes combined with your athleticism and fighting skill set are starting to set you apart from most other fighters in your division. Let's talk about the fight with Abel Trujillo. I know fans are going to want to hear about that right away. I was somewhat surprised.
What do your status updates say? You're learning a new language? Going all organic? Instead of typing your feelings, what if you could put them into action? By creating a network to help keep kids off the streets in a country like Armenia or in Honduras? What if every ounce of your being helped update the status of a person, and in turn they did the same for you? Would this be enough social interaction? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. Get interactive at peacecorps.gov/game.
We're back live here on Carson's Corner, powered by MMALatestNews.com. My name is Bob Carson. Big thanks to Matthew Dolly for coming on and speaking to us for almost an hour, folks. I really, really appreciate him. And like I said, I think he's a sincere person. I think he's not doing this for any impure reason, and I hope that the UFC really considers signing him to fight CM Punk. I really, really do. I think he answered my questions very, very well. We definitely went around the bases, as we do here on Carson's Corner, and he did very, very well. He really did. He's really somebody that people can really get behind, and I think that could be a really good angle for the UFC to use instead of the usual trash talk and this and that. You know, you could do a lot of stuff focusing on Matthew's life and whatnot, and it would make for a very, very interesting fight. It really is. My apologies. I said earlier that Scott Carson, the man who he's the man who fought Herschel Walker, and Herschel Walker's debut in Strikeforce was something like 1-6, but I guess he was 1-1. Dale Carson, not Scott Carson, I'm sorry. Although there's most likely probably a MMA fighter named Scott Carson out there. I'm sure there is. There's so many Carsons. You know, Carson is a very, very common name. I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to tell anybody that. All right? So we would have just correct that. Also, I want to encourage people to friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA, facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. You could also follow me on Twitter at same handle, twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And make sure to check out MMA Latest News, MMALatestNews.com. That is MMALatestNews.com. We are an official contributor there to that great website. Proud about that. And so make sure to check out all the articles and all the stories on MMALatestNews.com. That is MMALatestNews.com. I don't know. We're supposed to go till about 5:30, but I think we pretty much covered everything on this edition of Carson's Corner. Again, want to give a big thanks to Matthew Dolly from Florida. Amateur MMA fighter looking to turn pro in the UFC. And maybe we can get him Donna's number. Maybe we can get him the number to Zuffa, and he could speak to their assistant, Donna, who I'm sure is just inundated with calls and whatnot. So maybe we'll work on doing that. But that's going to be it for this week's edition of Carson's Corner. Again, thanks for everybody. Thanks to everybody for listening all over the globe. Really appreciate it. And we'll be back whenever we can here, folks. Thank you very much. Take care and have a good rest of the week.